Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, welcome to another hour of Travel with Stephanie Abrams. I want to remind you, sabrams.net is the place to go, sabrams.net, and you'll be able to find all the photo galleries and archived audio and podcasts and everything else you need. And if you're listening for the first time and you can't even remember my name, remember that you can go to Google and just put in radio show, travel expert, those four words, and you'll find yourself connected back to me real quick, because I pretty much dominate the first page of results, which is a nice achievement, people. I really want you to focus on how to travel safely. With more and more people being vaccinated, that's going to open up a lot of travel opportunities. But just as you use your good horse sense to go grocery shopping, go get gasoline for your car, do other things that are necessities of daily living in your life with social distancing, with often hand washing and hand sanitizing, walking around with gel in your pocket to disinfect your hands, keeping a mask available. So if you're in your car with your windows closed and there's nobody near you, you don't need it. But once you have to get out and there are people nearby, that's when you need to have it. So make sure that the glove compartment in your car has its own little stock of masks, face masks, and latex gloves for when you need that. And if you just stay away from other people, you'll be just fine. And I know that well, given that we have been in self-isolation since March 16th, 2020. We're looking at a year. We've still managed to go out. We just don't mingle with people. And if you keep your distance, which is how I chat with my neighbors, from my doorway to the end of my driveway where they are, or from 40 feet away from one house to the next. So you can still see people, you just see them from a distance. And that doesn't mean you can't travel. It's just don't travel in crowded places. Which to me means, first of all, our passports at the moment aren't worth very much. Nobody wants us, so I don't blame them. And most of you don't want to cross an ocean to go somewhere right now. You will soon. But at the moment, it's all about an educational campaign we started in early fall 2020 here at Travel with Stephanie Abrams that I named Stay and Play USA. And I thought, you know, we are coming into the season when everybody thinks they're Irish at St. Patrick's Day time. And it's you're not going to Ireland this year. That I pretty much know for sure for St. Patrick's Day. Chances are good. I haven't checked, but more than likely there will be no parades in Ireland. Although Ireland was pretty much the last of the countries in the world to have St. Patrick's Day parades, because the first parade in Dublin, Ireland, was in something like, I want to say 1995 or something. I don't know. It's in fairly recent history. The one in New York is much older than the parade in Ireland. But we were there last year anticipating going to a parade in Lanesborough, County Longford, Ireland, on March 17th. But on March 15th, Aer Lingus announced it's not flying anymore for the immediate future. So we weren't going home. And the next day, the 16th, it was announced that the hotels, inns, B&Bs, guest houses, any kind of lodgings in Ireland and Northern Ireland were shuttering down for a lockdown. The Republic of Ireland is in lockdown right now. Currently through March 5th, there's some talk about extending it to April. So I thought, you know, done right, you could stay and play USA and find your way to a feeling of being in Dublin, Ireland by visiting Dublin, Ohio. And we're going to do that right after this.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Curaçao, offering vacationers cultural experiences wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture. A UNESCO World Heritage City on a southern Caribbean island with coves, beaches, and over 60 dive and snorkeling sites. Curaçao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curaçao.com.
By the way, my TV show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, which broadcasts on television to 30 million, more than 30 million, households in the U.S., including in Hawaii, and is available to those of you who have Roku or Amazon Fire TV. Go to the B-I-Z as in zebra, Biz VOD, V-O-D, for video on demand. The Biz VOD channel at either Roku or Amazon Fire TV, on Sundays when it's 5 p.m. in New York City, count to whatever time zone you're in, when it's 5 p.m. on New York City on Sundays, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams is airing live. And if you want to see other shows with commercials, you can see them there at the BizVod channel. Or you can find those shows archived, commercial-free, at sabrams.net, sabrams.net. We have done, there are now 24 episodes, and they're hour shows when they're broadcast, but they have commercials. So without the commercials, if you watch them at sabrams.net, they're 47 minutes. And there are 24 of them now. And more than half of them are about Ireland, either entirely or in part. Episode 5 and episode 21 include celebrations of St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. So you might want to see episode 5 celebrating St. Patrick in Northern Ireland. And you might want to see episode 21, which actually has a little bit of Northern Ireland in it, followed by a visit to Ballybunion for Marconi Day, the 100th anniversary of the father of radio sending the first voice message from Ballybunion, County Kerry, Ireland, to Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, Canada. And in that same episode, you can attend the St. Patrick's Day Parade in County Longford, in the town of Lanesborough in Ireland. And it's great fun. So I just thought you might be interested in that. But waiting patiently, I hope, on the line to speak with us is the general manager of the AC Marriott Columbus Dublin Hotel in Dublin, Ohio, Ulysses Infante Garcia. So I have a few questions to ask before we get into the nitty-gritty, Ulysses. I learned in our broadcast chat that you are from Chile. How long ago did you move from Chile?
Stephanie, how are you? Thanks for having me. I moved back in 2008.
Okay. And how old were you when you left Chile?
I was in my 20s. I actually, let me tell you something a little more from the private information. I got married with an American. I got married with a fantastic woman from Buffalo, New York. So we met each other in Santiago. She's used to be an English teacher. and we had common friends. We met each other in Santiago, and then we decided to move to New York so she can finish her master's degree. And that was my first time kind of living in the country for a long time, for a long period of time.
I had the privilege of being on a Department of Commerce trade mission to Chile in the 1990s, and we were in Santiago, and from the city of Santiago, we went to some town about an hour outside. There's a convention center. It isn't really a convention center. It's this big building. It looks like a hacienda. It looks like a big ranch house. Lots of floor-to-ceiling windows everywhere. Red brick in between places. We on the way from Santiago to this place where we had the meetings, because it was like just a lot of meeting room space. We passed every major American brand I ever heard of. Hewlett-Packard, IBM. I can't even remember all the brands, but I mean, you looked up and you knew every company. And the scenery was spectacular. What a gorgeous place Santiago is, and what a gorgeous drive from Santiago to this town that we went to go and visit this, to have meetings at this building with the Department of Commerce and the International Franchise Association. We have to take a quick break. We're going to come back because I have a couple more questions about Chile before we get into Dublin, Ohio. Stay with me, everybody. This is Stephanie Abrams. We'll be right back.
There's something new every week at sabrams.net. Check out Stephanie's ever-expanding photo galleries, blog insights, archived audio, which includes episodes of Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, and Stephanie's travel vlogs, which are short travel features on travel, including Stephanie's Corona Voyage series. It's all waiting for you at sabrams.net.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me live from Dublin, Ohio, is Ulysses Infante Garcia, which means your name is Ulysses. Are you doing it the American way? You're doing it the Spanish way? Is your last name Infante and your mother's name last name was Garcia? Or are you now doing...
Yes.
So you're still doing it the way the Spaniards do it?
I think my father are the same as my mother. They're both important, so both need to be in my name. So
no, but most,
yeah.
Oh, no, every Spaniard, anybody of Spanish descent that I know does it that because that's how it's done in Spain. So as a matter of fact, people, if you have somebody coming from Mexico or some Spanish descendant destination or from Spain, and they're staying at a local hotel, and they checked in, and you know them as, for instance, Rafael Ortiz Ruiz, who happens to be a real person. He used to be the head of American Airlines for Spain and then for Aeromexico in Spain, a very good friend. I lost track of him years ago. But he checked into a hotel in New York, and I called the hotel asking for Rafael Ruiz. And they look up under R for Ruiz, and there's no Rafael Ruiz. And I say, I know he's in the hotel. So let's go through and find every Rafael who's a guest. And they found him, but they had it alphabetized by the last name of his name, which is really his mother's maiden name, Ortiz. But his real name, you know, for an American, you would have done it the other way. If he was American, he'd be Rafael Ortiz Ruiz. But if you have if you're a Spanish descendant, the name in the middle, that's your father's last name, that's your surname, and the next name is your mother's maiden name, and it gets very confusing. Oh, you know, it's almost like dates, like the month of February, until you get to the 13th of February, or the 13th of any month until, further down the line. Europeans, when you put the date, if the date is, let's say, February 14th, we do Valentine's Day. If the date is February 14, 21. So we would write 2/14/21. Well, that would work anywhere in the world because there's no 14th month. But let's say we were doing the 6th of February. So we'd write 2/6/21. To a European and most of the rest of the Americas, 2/6/21 would mean the second day in June because they put the day and then the month. We put the month and then the day. So until you get into a number that's higher, like 13 and above, you don't know if somebody writes 2/12/21, if they mean February 12th or they mean the second day of December.
I have dealt with that all my life since I moved from Chile to the United States, and I always wonder why. It was like, it doesn't make sense. It's first the day, and then the month, and then the year. That's the order.
No.
And when I came here, I got so confused.
Yeah, here it's the month, and then the day, and then the year. And, you know, there's a lot of little confusing things that can drive you crazy when you're traveling. That's one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just little inconsequential things that could completely mess up your life. And I will tell you that there are hoteliers and maitre d's at restaurants who have told me that people have showed up in the wrong month because they came on April 5th instead of May 4th. Because
that's funny now, but probably wasn't any funny that time. Huh?
Well, you know, there's a series. It's like a romantic comedy series called Emily in Paris.
Oh yeah, I hear about it.
Okay, well, when you watch it, I'm pretty sure that was the one. She makes a reservation in a very difficult to get a reservation at restaurant in Paris. Everybody says she's never getting a reservation, and she wants to bring these very fancy VIP visitors. And she makes a reservation for a date. And she, I don't know. So let's say the date was supposed to be April 8th. So she goes and she makes the reservation for 4/8. And when she arrives on April 8th, they tell her there's no reservation for this group of like 8 or 10 dignitaries. And she's all embarrassed and whatever because they can't get into the fancy restaurant. And the maitre d' says, but, you know, if you want to come back on the 4th of August, we have the table for you. It's all reserved.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that got me when I got to the United States. And when you were talking about my name, it's something that I have to deal with on a regular basis. At the end of the day, usually I just give them my ID and I tell them that's my name.
Okay, well, we have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And we have so much to talk about. Stay with me. Stephanie Abrams here.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
If you missed the beginning of this hour, you need to go to sabrams.net. Within 72 hours of the show broadcasting live on radio, and also streaming live at many of the radio affiliates that carry our show nationally in the U.S., you will find we are podcast, we are archived, and you really want to catch up on what we just talked about. What we talked about is some of the awful mistakes that can happen because people going to a destination or a region in the world that they are unfamiliar with don't understand or have experience with some of the norms. Simple things like getting a date right. And so, you know, you think you have requested April 4th and really what you've requested is... you know, a date in May, because, if April 4th would work, it's 4/4 either way. But if you chose April 5th for a reservation in a restaurant in some place you want to go and you arrive on April 5th, there's a good chance they're going to tell you that your reservation is for May 4th. And that's because they swap the numbers around. They don't do the month, the day, the year. They do the day, the month, the year. And so this is one of the reasons why I urge you not to do brain surgery self-inflicted. When you're making travel plans, find yourself a seriously qualified travel advisor and go to ASTA, American Society of Travel now they call it travel advisors, not agents. But go to ASTA, and I think it's ASTA.org, and find an expert in the destination you're going to. It will save you from coming home with horrible stories about how you thought, you know, you bought tickets for some concert, and when you got there, they told you your tickets for a month from now or 6 months from now or whatever because the dates are not right. And that's just one little example of things you need to know in order to navigate this world. And you can't learn them all. You can't, because that's not what you do professionally. People that do this 24/7 with passion and investment of their lives in helping other people travel richly, they know. They know from experience. They know from background. They know it from people that have traveled. They're talking with people that have just come back from destinations you want to go to. And while maybe online it looks beautiful, the travel advisor is getting the feedback from their client who just came back and said, you know, this is what's going on there right now. And there's no better way of knowing than somebody that's just returned. But we have on the line Ulysses Infante Garcia, general manager of the AC Hotel, part of the Marriott group of fine hotel properties. And it is physically in Dublin, Ohio. But you, when you gave me the name of the hotel's full title, you called it Columbus Dublin. How far is Dublin, Ohio from Columbus, Ohio, Ulysses?
You can be downtown in probably 20 to 25 minutes. We have direct, if you follow the river all the way down, you'll get downtown. It's probably around 20 to 25 minutes. It's not that long.
I had no idea.
It's a little oasis outside the big city.
I had no idea. I used to go maybe three times a year, fly into Columbus Airport, which is adorable. Sweet little airport. I don't know if it's changed since I used to go there. The last time I was there was probably 2001. And Ohio is such a beautiful state. Beautiful. In many ways, people, if you don't know Ohio, but you know Pennsylvania, very similar. Rolling green hills. And I remember once flying into, I think maybe I flew into Cleveland and I drove to Columbus. What a gorgeous drive through meadowlands and sheep and cows. But it reminded me of being in Ireland. I mean, it's beautiful. And it's very similar in many ways to driving through Pennsylvania, which is also gorgeous. We've got a lot of beautiful places to visit. I have one more question about Chile, where you are from, Ulysses, before we dive into talking about the Marriott, the AC Marriott in Dublin, Columbus, but really sitting in Dublin, Ohio. Did you know a family or a fellow named Alvarez? A very, very achiever, a big achiever in the travel industry, named Jaime Alvarez. He was the head of the Viajes Ecuador office in Chile until, I guess, somewhere in the late 1980s, the company became Vagon Lee, and then it became Carlson Vagon Lee. And then he was moved to Miami. And that's where I knew him from. But do you know this family?
No, not at all.
I should introduce you to him. Jaime lives in Miami. I will dig out his mobile number and his email address, and I will introduce the two of you. Yeah, he ran.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, he ran the Viajes Ecuador office, in and at that time, I mean, that was like. For American comparison, it would be compared to Talk Tours or Mopin Tour or American Express. Well, actually, Viajes Ecuador was the private labeler for American Express holidays in Spain. So when you bought an American Express holiday in Spain or a TWA getaway in Spain, this long before they went out of business, you were getting Viajes Ecuador, was, you know, the ground service and the wholesaler and the retailer, and it was a huge company. But in any event, we need to get you now. You arrived in America. Where did you land?
So the first, I'm a very lucky person. I studied hotel and restaurant management, and the first time, my first job out of university was working for Disney. So I worked in Epcot Center for 1 year. This was the millennium, was year 2000, and in Epcot Center, they used to have a huge tent. I mean, they call it tent. It was a huge place with ambassadors from all over the world.
Right.
And I was basically there selling wine and giving taste of wine, Chilean wine, of course, and South American food to all the visitors in Epcot. And that was my first time ever out of my country, first time living alone. It was a lot of first times for me. So I had the best time of my life. It was great. And that was on my 20s. And then back traveling a little, I worked on a cruise ship, a Disney cruise line, for a year and a half. So I traveled the Bahamas and all that. And then after that, I went back home. And that's when I met my wife. And we decided to basically move to New York City. So we were between New York and San Francisco. She wanted to get her master's degree, so we ended up going to New York because it's close to her family. That her family lives in Buffalo, New York.
Right.
So that's.
So were you working in
driving?
Were you working in hospitality? Oh, I know it well. That trip from New York City to Buffalo on the New York Thruway. That's a hike.
In New York, I work in restaurants. I work for a 3 Michelin star restaurant. And then I worked for a 2 Michelin star restaurant until I moved back to Buffalo for a short period of time.
Well, how
but
did
always
you?
Always in hospitality.
How did you find your way into the hotel business?
You know, it's the universe is just very, very wise.
I agree. Seriously,
things happen for a reason. And we were living in Buffalo. We were an hour away. My wife and I were an hour away to travel to go to New Zealand for a year. We had our visas and everything. And unfortunately, the plan didn't work. So we ended up staying in Buffalo. And then I saw this ad that they were looking for people to work in the brand new Marriott Hotel, Harbor Center. There's an entire area downtown Buffalo that's kind of getting rebuilt and revamped. So they put this gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. So I applied to this hotel. They never called me back. I sent my resume probably like 4 times, and I'm like, how come these people don't call me? I mean, I really wanted to work in this place. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. So I ended up going there, and they told me, "Lisa, don't worry, we have an interview." So I got in an interview with my boss, and it was the most pleasant person that I ever met. Like, the interview went so, like, it wasn't even an interview. It was like you and I get together for coffee and we just chat. It was just like that. And he hired me on the spot to work in the hotel as a supervisor in food and beverage. And that's how it basically all began. That was 5 years ago. I started working for Marriott and for Shaner Corporation. And I fell in love. To be honest with you, Stephanie, I forgot how much fun was to work in a hotel. There's just you meet so much interesting people, and there's so many other things that you learn that is, I love it. I seriously love it. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't be doing it.
Well, that's the thing, you see.
It's a very demanding job.
It's one of the reasons that I either like to interview the owner, if an owner is an available person and not part of, you know, some corporate investment group or something, or the general manager. Or sometimes the owner is the general manager, because the general manager, in order to be a GM, you have to be passionate about what you do. You can't almost care or slightly care, because it's not possible to do the job. And if you're not 110% invested in this job, it shows. And it's the reason there's such a high divorce rate. So stick with that marriage. There's a very high divorce rate.
You're right.
Among general managers, because the hotel is the wife and the wife is the mistress. And when something happens, general managers miss more anniversary parties, birthday parties, school plays for children, soccer games, you name what it is. Even if they've got the day off, if there's something going on at the hotel, it's, I'll see you later, I'm out of here. It's like being married to a surgeon.
You're spot on, Stephanie, spot on.
So, you know, and so when I talk to a general manager, I'm talking about somebody that knows the place inside out, who is 100% invested in the place, who speaks with authority, who speaks with credible, accurate information, and who speaks from the heart. And it's otherwise, it's not possible. I know one comes to mind for sure. I think there's another. I'll have to think of it for a while. One guy who absolutely should not be a general manager. In fact, he should be in the accounting office only dealing with programs and pencils and ledger sheets and never speaking to another human being. And somebody in Scotland. One day I'll write about him in depth. Oh, my God. You know the story of the... I don't know, the Sultan of Brunei or somebody who was checking into the Dorchester in London, and the people at the front desk were not nice to him. And the impression he got was they were not nice to him because he was dressed in kind of Muslim kind of attire, and was clear that he was, you know, not a Brit or not a European, and he felt that this was a kind of, you know, bigoted way of treating him, and he was being badly roughed up. And you know, when these folks check in, they check in with their entourage. They're like a group of 15 or 20 people. They don't just come by themselves. So
yeah,
it's big business. And the Dorchester, while it isn't the top hotel in London, it's way up there in the food chain of like the top five hotels. So anyway, the guy was mean to him at the front desk, so he went upstairs and he called his attorney. And the next morning, he came down, and he fired the guy. He told him he doesn't work there anymore. And the guy laughed. And he said, "Don't laugh. I own this hotel now." So this is my fantasy. Somebody roughs me up, I buy the hotel, and I fire them. And if you see the movie, Crazy Rich Asians, and it's not
that they're
crazy Asians. It's that they're crazy rich. There is a scene where the mother buys a hotel in London that's based on the real story. And I think it was the Sultan of Brunei. The real story of what happened at the Dorchester in London. So, yeah. People have to be nice or you can't be in this business. It's hospitality, people. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me is Ulysses Infante Garcia, not to be confused with Cherry Garcia. Do you buy that ice cream just so you can have ice cream in your freezer with your name on it? Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia?
Big, big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of Ben and Jerry's.
So, Ulysses is the general manager of the AC Marriott Hotel in Dublin, Ohio, which is 20 minutes from downtown Columbus. Easy to get to, easy to drive to. Let's talk about the hotel. Firstly, I know Marriott has some very, this is an AC Marriott, which is AC is a brand of Marriott. What does the AC stand for?
So AC is actually stands for Antonio Catalán, and Antonio is the one who created the brand back in '99. That's when he opened the brand, and he started with these hotels basically back in Spain. And in 1999 was the first hotel open, and then back in 2011, I believe. He joins venture basically with Marriott International.
Got it.
And on them, and AC becomes one of the 30 brands that Marriott owns.
Yeah. So this hotel, as part of Marriott, I know Marriott has gone to great lengths to give advice, recommendation, and directives on what Marriott-branded property should be doing to assure the health and safety of not only guests but also staff. So can you give us a little quick summary of what you have done at your property to give people confidence that coming to the AC Marriott in Dublin, Ohio, is going to be a healthful experience for them?
Absolutely, Stephanie. So, well, first of all, we never closed this hotel, so every single thing that it was discovered by this virus, we were doing the changes accordingly, and that kind of gave us the advantage that when a lot of hotels reopened, we were already open, and we all have changed all the protocols. But the main focus was always taking care of our employees and taking care of our guests. That's the most important part for us. So let's just start with a regular day. Any AC family member, any employee that comes gets needs to answer a questionnaire as soon as they arrive, and in a location that is isolated. They fill up on a questionnaire with a lot of questions regarding COVID. And then it needs to be we take their temperatures, and after they're clear and their temperature is under 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, they're basically good to go. And the questionnaire, of course, all the answers are answered corrected. And then they get a bracelet. We get a bracelet every single day, and every single person who actually works in the hotel needs to have this bracelet. That means that they're being clear and they don't have any symptoms, or the temperature is under. And then for our guests, since day one, we start taking measurements. We basically took all the clutter or everything that could be kind of contaminated in the room. Like, for example, your everything that is related with glasses or pens and paper and things that could stay in the room for the other guests. We basically took all that up and have it just available for guests when they arrive, if they ask. Signage, keep your distance, wear a mask, and we basically put also hand sanitizers everywhere in all the high risk areas, elevators, entrance, at the entrance of the hotel. I mean, it's basically, there's no place that you cannot just put your hand on a sanitizer and get some of that. So besides that, Getting the rooms closed and sanitized with electrostatic sanitation, and then basically taking care of our guests and making sure that they feel comfortable and all the measurements have been taken to make sure that they're safe and sound.
Are you filling what is 100% occupancy? How many rooms do you have?
We have 150 rooms.
And what? And how many heads and beds? If you're fully booked, how many is it?
Oh, well, we have 78. We are a combination of corner kings, that is basically king beds, and then we have what's called double beds as well. So we're talking over probably 200 and something people sleeping at one time if everybody
okay.
is
got
so
it.
So it's a big.
Are you
big
fully? We only have a few seconds left. Literally a few seconds. Are you fully booking out, or are you limiting capacity in the hotel?
We're fully booked. We're fully booking. People can still come. Yes, absolutely.
I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a delight. Got to fly now.